Moncrief on News Talk.
A new statue was unveiled last week along part of the South Kerry Greenway. It's of Mick Ironman Murphy. He was the winner of the 1958, I should say, Ross Tarleton, but a hell of a lot more besides. Here to tell us a bit more about him is Ian O'Riordan, sports reporter with the Irish Times. Good afternoon, Ian.
Hi, Sean. Yes, good afternoon.
So was it at the Ross where he first came to public attention, or had he been doing sporty things before that?
Yeah, it was very much the Ross Tarleton, as you say, back in 1958. The Ross Tarleton is still going, by the way. This is one of the most famous cycling races in Ireland, but it would have been in its early years then, but very much one of the prominent sporting events in Ireland at the time. Cycling was huge sport at the time in Ireland, still is to some extent, but so he came from the, I suppose Mick Murphy came from the proverbial nowhere. And just by way of brief background, I happened to be down in Kerry the weekend before last, and as you mentioned, they were unveiling the statue down in Carrisavine, close to where he lived. And I almost felt compelled to go out and see the unveiling of the statue, because I'd heard a lot about Mick Murphy as a sort of a part-time cyclist and all of that. And I know we use that word legendary a lot in Irish sport, but he really was this legendary and almost mythical type figure in Irish cycling, going back to that 1958 Ross win. The way he went about it, he came from the proverbial nowhere. He had no real cycling background. I think he was about 24 years old. And I was just looking again here at the race itself. So it was 8 days, 8 stages, and it pretty much covered the whole country from Dublin to Wexford to Kilkenny to Tralee to Nenagh to Castlebar and then back to Dublin. So 8 stages. He had a crash on the second stage and had to borrow a bicycle. Then he ended up breaking his collarbone on the fourth stage, but still went on to win by about 5 minutes. So he was very much seen as this just super strong man in cycling. But that was really only half the story, because then what really established his, as I say, legendary status was then people soon realised when he finished the stage and then he'd go out on a sort of a 30-mile cool down on his bike, which is
mother
totally unheard of.
30 miles?
Yeah, well, according to the reports at the time, which have been sort of talked about over the years. And then secondly, he'd go into a field and he'd start lifting these stones and various iron implements above his head, basically doing a weight training session. But the third part, which really set him apart then, he'd carry a small penknife in the sock of his racing sock or whatever. And then he'd pull the penknife out and he'd find a suitably calm cow in a field and he'd gently slice the throat of the cow and drop a little bit of blood into his water bottle and would drink that blood. And he called this a transfusion. And this became known as one of his training aids. Perfectly legal, I hasten to add. But that was the kind of behavior which set him apart. He rode on for about 2 or 3 more years and then promptly retired. And I was down at the statue last week, as I say, and at the unveiling, he's described as a cyclist, obviously, but also a farmer, a boxer, a wrestler, a circus performer and a maverick. So he went on to have this really extraordinary life afterwards. And it was after, sadly, when he died in 2015 at the age of 81, so a ripe old age, that the local community decided, look, we have to remember this man in some way. And over 10 years later, they've got the statue erected in a beautiful position, as you say, on the Kerry Greenway.
Yeah. Now, and as you alluded to there, that, like, when he raced a couple more times in the Ross, and then he literally ran off to join the circus.
Yes, I think it was to England originally, and then on to other parts of Europe, Germany. A lot of this was catalogued, I suppose, in at the time. But and it was the classic circus performer, sword swallowing, fire eating, all the things you do as an entertainer. And by all accounts, he was very good at it, and that was the life he lived. And then it was only after he returned to Carrisavine. Now, I've never seen where he lived, but it was a small hilltop farm called Shrugraina. I may be pronouncing that wrong, up high up in the valley, out in the middle of nowhere. And that's where he lived. And that's where he spent the last number of years, obviously. But it was very much, he'd come down from the mountain every now and again and perform his various circus acts. And when he came back home, and again, that's kind of how the myth and the legend grew over the years.
That's from kind of like, I suppose, the era of Butty Sugru and these kind of strong men who were just kind of naturally strong rather than they seemed to do any great amount of training around it. And as you say, the Ross have been back in the 50s would have been a world famous cycle race.
Well, it wouldn't be world famous per se. It was very much kind of a domestic thing at the time. I mean, I suppose it wasn't really until Sean Kelly and Stephen Rhodes that Irish cycling really went international per se.
Mm.
But it was certainly seen as one of the biggest sporting events in Ireland at the time. I mean, cycling was seen as very much kind of a national sport, and they really got behind it as much as the GAA say at the time did it as well. But I think what possibly set Mick Murphy apart more than anything was he was ahead of his time, and nobody was really thinking about cool downs or training aids such as sipping on cow's fresh blood. But it turns out that practice itself actually went back to famine times in Kerry. It was quite well known in Kerry that during the famine, because obviously there was extreme poverty, and if you happened to have a family cow, you didn't want to kill the cow. So once a week you'd blood the cow up to maybe take a pint of milk out of the cow, and that would be your sort of your health tonic to get you through the week. And the saying goes that Kerry cows knew Sundays, because this would happen on a Sunday. So come a Sunday morning, you see the cows sort of drifting higher up into the field, knowing that the penknife was coming for them.
Yeah, and was it? Did it take a long time to get this statue finally erected? There was an element of fundraising in it too, I assume.
Yeah, I think that was a beautiful thing about this was that I think the local cycle community didn't. I think the point they were making when I was talking to them down there last week was they just didn't want them to be forgotten, because it's such a unique story, and the people I would talk could you described them as an ordinary man who did extraordinary things. So they had a few local cycle events to raise. They raised about €20,000, which is not a small amount of money. And then there was local funding, I think matched that 3-1. So they raised about €80,000 in all to build a statue, to get the statue made. It's a beautiful statue. I think the Mark Rode is the sculptor from Mayo who completed it. And he's just standing there next to his bike, but it's exactly where the Kerry Greenway will enter Carrisavine. So the hope is that people will stop, look at this man standing behind his bicycle and go, who is this man that's now standing before us? And that's hopefully how the story will be carried on.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. Given he looks like a kind of a man in the statue of a relatively normal physique. Because from your description, you know, what conjures up is a beast of a man rather than that.
Yeah.
Fella, but maybe that's the way he looked.
No, there are photographs. Obviously, there's photographs exist of him, and I agree. He probably was a little bit more robust in real life. I wouldn't fault the sculptor for that. I think that was the image they were trying to present. I think his original drawing had Mick holding a trophy above his head, and then everyone was saying, no, he wasn't really a show off. I mean, he was an entertainer. He loved to entertain, but he'd never show off. He wasn't looking for fame, and like he totally didn't go for any of the sort of the as I said, a sort of fame which would have followed him. He became almost a recluse. There was a tinge of sadness, I thought, at the end of the story that he, as I say, he lived alone for most of his life in a small cottage with no electricity, no running water. He refused to draw the pension and just sort of lived out his years in total isolation. So it's a unique story. And I know, as I say, we use that word legendary many times in sport, but this, I think Mick Murphy is such a mythical figure, and I'm delighted to see that he's got the statue. I think there's only two cycling statues in all of Ireland, and he's one of them.
All right. Okay. It's a hell of an achievement. Ian, thanks very much for talking to us today. That was Ian O'Riordan there, sports reporter with the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.